Good evening and welcome to the September 20th special session of the Los Osos Community Services District. Could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Vega?
Director Sennett.
Present.
Director Schicker.
Here.
Director Tapper.
Here.
Vice President Sparks.
Here.
President Sustain.
Here. Thank you. Report out of closed session, Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. In closed session, your board discussed pending and potential litigation and directed staff and your general counsel to take steps to respond to the potential litigation. In addition, you discussed personnel matters, namely continuing negotiations with a potential general manager candidate. No reportable action was taken.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Tonight, first of all, we should announce right up front our presentation that was going to happen from Shauna Sullivan will not happen. She had to prepare for a court hearing and could not make the meeting tonight. So we're going to have to wait a couple weeks on that. And I apologize for that. It just couldn't be helped. She could not be here. And I know that there was some interest in that. So with that, we'll move on to general action items. And yeah, I don't see Mr. Milanes yet to present his iBank report. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll maybe move to administrative and committee reports. We'll just tear this whole agenda up and turn it around and. Do you think that seems like a wise thing to do?
That's just fine.
Okay. We'll give Mr. Milanes more time to get here.
Oh, 2 minutes. We're told 2 minutes he'll be here.
2 minutes. Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll wait for the 2 minutes. Can we...
Can I stay and talk
to you? No. Actually, he's got... October 4th, there was a press release that went out about that today. We will be discussing the 218 assessment ballots that the district needs to vote on for our properties. And then later on the 18th, we have a closed session, a special meeting at that point in the month. And there'll be a public discussion about Plan B and what the community thinks we should do if the 218 does not pass, so that we are... exercising our own due diligence to be ready in case, that sort of thing. So those are the two meetings, special events coming up later in the month. And then September 29th, the county will be here at Sunnyside School for an open house. All sorts of things, I guess they'll probably be talking about or trying to answer questions that might remain about the 218. I know that there will be other environmental organizations here, Surf Rider and Slow Green Build and others, talking about their vision for a sustainable project, that sort of thing. And then earlier that day, close to high tide, maybe an hour or two before, we're going to try and get some kayaks out on the water and just kind of do a healing paddle for the community. It's time to start trying to build some bridges here. And the bay is a great place to do that. And so we've talked about launching, whether it's from Baywood Pier, from Cuesta Inlet, wherever it is, we're going to paddle out to the middle of the bay and spend some time together. Actually, went out with Pavo and Pat Renshaw, Mary Fullwood, under the full moon last month. And we had a great time. It was, Pavo's a great kayaker. He's yeah. So anybody else got some special events, anything else coming up that you want to make note of at this time?
I received some information that there was going to be a planning commission hearing on the Tri-W issue next Thursday, and I kind of wanted to know, does your board want us to agendize that as a special
meeting?
That's
been continued till March.
Oh, it has?
Yes.
Again?
Yes, again.
Till March?
Till March. We went for a full six-month continuation this time. Did you want to report on the ISJ? Go right ahead.
just in case, board, and the county's on board. So that's where that's at.
And it's my understanding this is essentially to set the framework for the detailed ordinances and regulations that'll be necessary to manage the basin. But this essentially is everyone agreeing, all the water purveyors agreeing, along with the county, to work together to try and resolve this. Things haven't always been the friendliest relations between the water purveyors out here, and it looks like we're starting to get past that and realize it is one basin, even if we're three different companies and a county trying to figure out how to use it. So that's a big step, actually. Yeah, it is a big, big step. I'm not sure when Supervisor Gibson's next open house. I guess that would be next week, next Thursday at the Sea Pines.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, 4 o'clock. Four till at least five, I guess, is the way. Are they still advertising it that way, or they just give up and say 4 to 6?
They'll be there.
Okay, 4 o'clock, next Thursday at Sea Pines. Anna Jane, you keep wanting to say something.
No, I can always think of something to say. I just thought, you know, I mean, and this is all I really had for my report, that Daniel Crawford and I attended a governmental accounting class in San Luis Obispo this week, and I learned something that was really interesting and I think has been at the crux of our confusion over our audited financial statement. And this woman who taught the class is one of the top auditors of government entities in the state of California, an extremely knowledgeable, very clear communicator. And she said that the district, the government entity, should keep its books always just on that fund basis of accounting, which is the financial reports that, you know, we submit monthly. And that the report that then is what's called a CAFR, Consolidated Annual Financial Report, you know, has a lot more in it than just financial information too, lots of statistical and notes, etc. Is that those adjustments convert something from this modified accrual over to this accrual system, and that those adjustments should never be made in the district's books, that those should be outside of the district books, and you should maintain that fund to take that, put it in as an asset, but that on the district's books that should never happen. And so we're going to switch how we do things this year, and you know, it was much clearer, and I'm just really hopeful that as we go through this audit and present it to you, that it'll be much clearer how
and
that's
we,
all
supposed to. We will have half-hour budget presentations and no questions.
Yeah, right.
Just hoping. Okay, thank you, Anna Jane. And now we'll get back on track with the general action items, and we'll look to Mr. Milanis for his iBank report.
Good evening, President Cicino, board, staff, and the public. I apologize. Got behind several espressos and cappuccinos at Starbucks, so just kidding. Again, my apologies. This evening before you, have the adopted iBank resolution and the amended agreement for extending the iBank program for another 18 months. This is in your April, the board in April asked staff to pursue a the iBank loan for 12 months. We did submit that in June, and after a period of time working with the iBank, addressing many of their questions as to the security of this loan moving forward with our infrastructure project, we eventually did, were able to secure the an agreement that will not only allow us to move forward with our infrastructure projects, but they were gracious enough to give us an additional 6 months above the 12 months that we originally asked for. So it is our intent to move forward. My hope is we keep it to the 12 months, but having that additional cushion of 6 months certainly is of comfort. This evening, what we have is a presentation. I'm going to have Carrie Wagner, who has been instrumental over the last three.
Good evening, Mr. Board, President, and Board staff members. My name is, as George mentioned, I'm Carrie Wagner. I'm with Wallace Group. I'm a civil engineer with Wallace Group. And I've been assisting the district from the start of obtaining the iBank loan back in its inception. So tonight, I just wanted to give you an update on the application that we submitted for an extension request to iBank, as George mentioned. As you may know, as updates have been provided to you in the previous, that this program is a low-interest loan that's been obtained from the state. We were originally approved for $5 million, and this money was approved to fund engineering construction for several first priority projects that were stated in the Water Master Plan. The interest was 3.05% per annum over a 30-year program, and the original application was for a three-year contract. It started in September 2004 and was completed in August 27, 2007. In June 2007, when the district realized that we weren't going to be able to spend all the funds by August, we requested an extension to iBank in June. After working with iBank multiple times, sending drafts back and forth on figuring out the project's scope of work and the correct budgets, iBank authorized an extension for 18 months, 12 months, or 6 months beyond what our original request was. In August of 2007. So they extended the program all the way through till January 27, 2009. Within that request for the extension, we provided them with changes to scopes of work on various projects as well as updated budgets, and I'll go through each of those in a few minutes. So these are our first three, our six contracts, and there are three largest projects. Contract 1 and 9, which is the design and construction contract for the booster station expansion, the South Bay well upgrade, and some pipe upgrade, as well as expanding the hydropneumatic zone throughout the system, installing PRV stations and check valves throughout the station. There was no change in this project scope. However, we did offer the 9th Street and Los Olivos contract. This originally was a different project in its inception, and about a year and a half ago, we changed that project description with iBank. And so at this extension request, there was no change in scope. As well, the updated budget, there was an updated budget on this one. Go back, George. Sorry. There was a major accomplishment on these three contracts. These contracts have been completed and designed since last year. However, we've had some hang-ups in the planning department or in the permitting process of Contract 1, the booster station building with the county. We were pleased to receive the application approval for the variance of the building at the Planning Commission September 13, 2007 meeting. This was a huge accomplishment by the district and the district staff, and we were excited to know that the county was going to back this project for the district because a variance application is hard to come by. So we're projecting that this project will, including contracts 1, 2, and 3, will all go out to bid in October 2007. This is an update on the budgets that we are proposing for each of the three contracts. As you can see, the smaller of the budgets are the design contracts, and the larger ones are the construction. You can tell that we have not all of construction. We've got $1.4 million still able to be spent for the booster station, $740,000 for the pipeline on 16th Street, and $330,000 for the pipeline on 9th Street. Our next project is our replacement of our substandard services. Your staff is doing this project in-house. There was no project scope change and a slight modification in the budget. The design budget that we originally anticipated using for this contract, we realized since you're doing it in-house, this budget is no longer needed. So we were able to reallocate all the engineering budget over to other projects. The construction budget for this project, however, did not change from the inception of the project. To date, your staff has replaced 795 services, and later on this evening, George is going to be requesting to extend the staff contract for several of your employees to containment restoration of the services. So in essence, there's actually only about $56,000 left to be spent in the contract 6 budget.
Thank you, Carrie. Just quickly, I had Carrie drop this slide in because I think it's pertinent with regards to the discussion a little later this evening on the extension of two positions to continue pulling services line. What you have here is in 1999, when we essentially at the inception of the CSD, the extraction from the basin was 380 million gallons, actually almost 381 million gallons. And then what I've got here up on the screen is the years since 1999 and what we've actually been pulling between all our wells out of the basin. And what's to note here is there's a number of things occurred through those years. We started replacing meters, so forth, but we were doing a lot of service line replacement work with the 6 staff I have in the utilities department. And there are several water line that's actually we had to replace. And we actually had some major breaks that lost just hundreds and hundreds of thousands of gallons of water in a matter of hours. But I guess what the most important thing to look at here is in 2003, we dropped from 2002 to 2003, we pumped 377 million. And in 2003, we started realizing gains. We only pumped 362, which is almost 15 million gallons less the next year. In 2004, we started the program on service line replacements through 2006. And I guess what really jumps out at you is this program in replacing service lines, because they're essentially all embedded in sand, we don't see the leaks. But you can see we've dropped from, we'll just take 2004 through 2006 over the last 2 years, we've dropped from 335 million gallons, or almost 336 million gallons in that year, to that's what I did want to point out. Go ahead and, did you click that, or is that automatic? Okay. Go ahead, pull it again. Again, these are the types of lines we have been pulling through there, and a lot of other really kind of bizarre substandard lines. Now, this was a break we had in 2005 that literally was responsible for flooding out a home. Another one? This was a sinkhole. That actually took out a whole driveway, and you can see these guys are standing underneath. That hole was about 8 feet deep in the morning, and you can see the break. This is typical. That's a water line. We are looking to, again, repair these. You can see it was a huge, it took out the driveway, and this, by the way, has happened about 1:30 in the morning, so this work actually started early in the morning. Click again. This is just kind of the erosion you see when you get these kinds of water lines. And all this sand, by the way, has ended up on 3rd Street. It was over a day and a half pulling the sand and actually opened up 3rd Street. So, one more. I'm going to turn it back over to Carrie. So if anything, what I'm doing is plugging. The water service line is a great program. It's probably has done more for water conservation than probably anything you'll do in the future. And it's certainly worth considering exhausting that budget fully, extending to contracts to do that. So with that, I'll turn that back over to Carrie. Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Director Tacker?
You know that the chart for your extractions, you don't show the calculation from the meters at the homes, so our usage. So I see extractions have changed, but has the usage dropped also? Because I would think extractions have changed because, in great part, yes, you've improved the system, but we've ratcheted up our rates over the last 4 years that those are significant rate increases, and my assumption would be that consumption has gone down.
Actually, consumption has gone up this year. And what I'm showing is really the extraction, what we're pulling out of the basin. What you're talking about is loss. And I don't have that chart there, but if I plot the production versus the consumption, we actually this year had 8% unaccounted for water. I can tell you in trying to fill. And so the more we have to pull, it's just because we're not, if we're leaking that much water, then of course we're having to pull more to fill the demand. But what you're talking about is water loss. I can certainly share that slide, and we're doing very well there. But consumption actually has gone up in the last year, about 1%.
Well, we've had a dry year. I would assume that some, you know, people are trying to rescue their landscapes. But I think in the future, anytime you show extractions, you need to show consumption as well so that we do have that comparison.
Understood. Thank you.
George, I had a question, too. I just want to make sure in my mind that I'm comparing apples and apples, because it seems like we got two kinds of service line replacements going on. One, the smaller polybutylene to the individual houses, and then we got some water mains being replaced, too. I mean, the pictures you showed were not individual service lines to houses.
Yeah, there was one
lines.
Picture that was a pillar
service.
Well, yes,
there was one.
But, yeah, that was actually more trying to show you some of the water main breaks we have seen over the last few years in the district. The contracts Kerry was talking about, 2 and 3, actually will address some larger sections of the community that will not only replace the pipe, it'll upgrade it to a larger diameter.
Okay.
So
I guess what I'm trying to picture in my mind is when I look at a drop in extractions, maybe due to the replacement of lines, is it really those main lines that have the huge breaks that leak a lot of water where we're capturing, keeping that water in the system, or is it the little individual lateral lines to the houses that is critical?
It's the little ones. It's in the detail. That's where we're losing it. The big ones are pretty, they're pretty evident. When they happen, we lose a lot of water. And so any efforts certainly that we gain in conserving water, you have a break like that, it goes, you know, literally gets flushed. But the service line, you're correct, those are the ones that maybe leaking half a gallon to a gallon a minute. And you have to understand, this is 24 hours a day. There's 1,440 minutes in the day. So each one of those lines, we're losing 1,500 gallons, basically, of water a day. And again, you don't see that because the lines are 3 or 4 feet under and they're in sand. So I think what's telling here, though, is when you look at, and that, again, started back in 2000, 2001, you see incrementally we were gaining. We actually were pulling less and less as the years, if you look at 2001 through 2003. Those were leaks that, as we read the meters, we read, you know, the number of meters we read, the operators would note, you know, there's saturation here. We see, you know, there's a period of time I can tell you we had meter boxes that were literally full of water. So those were the obvious fixes. And now we've incrementally, because we've identified, we know where every line is, we know what they're made out of, we've went through and systematically pulled all the polybutylene, we'd hit all the steel, and now there's just a lot of really cheap, it's not even Schedule 40, it's a very cheap PVC that's out there.
Did you say that we started replacing the individual service lines in 2004?
We actually had been replacing those since the inception of the CSD.
Okay, just with in-house staff, and it wasn't part of this iBank
project.
But
it wasn't a focused effort like we've been able to do over the last 3 years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, George. So moving on, and the next contract is Contract 4 and Contract 12. This is our supplemental water supply wells. This one we did have a project scope change as well as we updated the budget. The project scope change in the inception of this project was to originally drill three wells, one at the South Bay well site and two at the Farrell well site. Due to changes in updated fees, engineers' estimates on our larger contracts, we had to reduce the scope of this project in order to ensure that we were going to be able to fund it. This was a requirement by iBank, and we had to ensure that we were going to have the funds to be able to construct the project in its entirety, which means we would have to drill and equip the well. If we only drilled the well, iBank would not fund the project. So with that, we decided to, under this extension request, reduce the scope down to only one well, which is going to be located at the South Bay well site. Once we get the bids in for contracts 1, 2, and 3 and look at and contract 7, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, then we can go back and revisit the budgets in its entirety and potentially go back and try and fund their fees accordingly to the new scope. And they should be starting to drill in next month. Contract 5 and 13, which is the intertie between the district and Cal Cities, we are deferring this project at this time. So for the well project, we have spent, in the design and construction management, we've spent half the budget. As well, we have $250,000 remaining for the equipping of the well, the drilling of the one well at South Bay and the equipping of it. Whoops. I can do it now, George. Thanks. The next project is Contract 7 and 15. Originally, this project was called the Palisades Seismic Upgrade Project, so this one does have a project scope change as well as a project name change. While we were about ready to go out to bid with this project for the Palisades Upgrade, which was some seismic upgrades to your dedicated transmission main from the Palisades well, we started discussing getting permits from the county and realized that they are in the process of doing an expansion of LOVR between Palisades and 9th Street with storm drain improvements and an overlay. Well, this conflicts with the they were going to be requiring the district to the new storm drain was going to be in conflict with the district's water main. With that said, we do have a future project to serve the Highland Tank project that was going to install a new 16-inch ductile iron pipe in LOVR, which wasn't being funded under this contract. We took a look at it and realized that it would be better money spent to just upgrade that water line now so that in the future, once the county does overlay that street, we don't have to go back in and tear LOVR back up. So we requested a project scope change for Contract 7 and 15 and are now calling it the LOVR water main upgrade. So we'll be upgrading your 8-inch pipe, AC pipe in the street up to 16-inch ductile iron. Contracts 8, 7, and 18 all dealt with the water operations facility, your admin building, and this project at this point has been deferred. Contract 19 is the 16th Street tank lining. This is the north tank, the lining that we did during the seismic upgrade projects, and this project has been completed at this time. Contracts 20A and 20B is actually a new project. This project will be lumped in with the bid process of contracts 1, 2, and 3. And this is the coating and lining up, the coating exterior dollars. Contract 15, we reallocated money from other contracts to this one in the amount of $246,000. So this is an overall budget to date, actually, it's as of August 31st, 07, our last disbursement request to iBank. These are the original budgets shown on our original request to iBank, and these are now our proposed budgets. So you can see we have now increased our budgets on the construction end of things by $300,000. We decreased engineering by $250,000, as well as we took out the contracts for permitting. That money that we ultimately used for permitting, that was for the admin building, of which is no longer being, is a project that's being deferred. So that was a complete 100% change. As of August 31st, we've only spent $700,000 in the construction contract, which the majority of that money is money that George and his staff has spent on contract six. On the engineering, we've spent $481,000, half of the design and construction management money. The remaining portion of that money is primarily for construction management once the projects go into construction, as well as the design for contract 15. So our project construction schedule. Contract 6, we'd like to keep on going for the next 6 months. We have enough funds to continue replacing services we've projected out for an additional 6 months. The booster pipe, the booster station and the piping upgrades, contracts 1, 2, and 3, going out to bid in October, and we should be completed by July 2008. We'd like to drill the new well in the fall of 2007 and ultimately equip the well in spring 2008 following the rainy season. And the LOVR water main project is going into design right at this moment in the next couple weeks and will be in construction starting in spring 2008. So just in summary, the district has spent over $1.2 million we've invested to date. You've completed replacing 795 water services. You've repaired pavement. You've designed and permitted contracts 9, 10, 11, and 12. We've pre-qualified all of our contracts, which is a requirement of iBank, and we've done the tank lining of the north tank.
No, that answered the deadline.
January 27th, 2008.
Oh, the deadline for the entire contract?
For us to return this agreement.
That I do not know. Do you know when we need to turn in the contract?
Hopefully next week or next week. Is this something that... My concern is, do I have to sign on with this tonight?
At this point, we are working without a contract with iBank. Our contract has officially was expired in August 27, 2007. So at this point, the district is moving forward with this resolution, or we need to be able to move forward with the contracts, and that requires your signature.
So as soon as possible.
Yes.
For that purpose. Okay, that's my question.
Director Tacker, I'm reading in the agreement it's September 27th is when it's entered into and signed.
Okay, that's but not
I hard. Think the question was, is that a hard and fast deadline, or is that just our hoped for completion to get this? I guess my, and I don't see any way around this, the one thing that we... eliminated that concerns me is the seismic retrofitting of the Palisades wells. That's one of our key wells, and there must be some comfort, I guess, that was not as high a priority as a lot of the things that stayed in.
I can actually explain that a little bit better. The seismic upgrade to the Palisades well, your transmission main from Palisades all the way to 9th Street is comprised of an 8-inch AC pipe, a very brittle pipe. With that project, we were installing four seismic upgrade connections. These were four connections, two on the northwest side of Palisades, and then, northwest side, and then two on the north side of LOVR between Palisades and Bush. We are eliminating the two that are on LOVR on between Palisades and Bush because we are now replacing that with a 16-inch ductile iron pipe, which is no longer a brittle pipe. We are keeping within the contract still the two connections on Palisades. So the transmission main coming down Palisades from the well and connecting in at LOBR will still be there because that is still an 8-inch brittle AC pipe. So we are bettering the situation with the installation of I did not bring that original budget for that contract. I can get that number for you. The reason the district worked with Cal Cities for several of the first few years of the contract and discussing this intertie contract with them, and ultimately through discussions deferred the project because we weren't moving forward with it, and we realized that we needed the money. It was the money was better spent going to the booster station upgrades and an increase in the reliability within the distribution system, your own distribution system. You can.
Yeah, the original scope for the interties was about $144,000 for the district. What's interesting is with the interlocutorly stipulated judgment, we're all getting good at that, aren't we? The ISJ, that's actually mandating there's interties done between all the purveyors. So I think this will kind of shake out as we move forward with the purveyors, you know, cooperatively managing the basin. And certainly the benefit is as much Cal City's benefit to ours. So we have the potential literally to share costs on that. And that was really one of the main reasons for deferring it.
The other question is on the timing with the county in coordination with the Los Osos Valley Road update. Is there any risk with the county not proceeding that would affect our ability to proceed within the time frame?
At this point, I haven't had current discussions with the county on their timing of the project. Back in January, they were said to be moving forward as soon as possible. We all know it's September, and they haven't moved forward with the project yet. We are planning with, once we obtain the signature on the resolution, we plan on starting to make contact again with the county and determine their status of that project. And our ultimate goal is to hopefully install that 16-inch main in conjunction with their project to reduce the cost to the district.
That would free up money that we could potentially use for, say, the Farrell Upper Well outfitting. Is that...
We would eventually, if we were able to come in with bids lower than what our engineering estimate is at this point and it frees up money, then yes, we would defer it back over to the Farrell Well site. We have intentions of spending every dime of that $5 million.
I thought your question kind of read more of if the county puts their road work off for a couple of years, say after our extension expires, would we take the money we were going to spend on this upgrade and use it for another project? Do we have that flexibility? Or would we go ahead, even though it's going to cost us more, and do that work on Los Osos Valley Road? And that's a decision I guess maybe we don't have to make yet. And certainly the county has made indications that they want to get that work done as soon as possible. It's a major issue there, the signal and everything that needs to be done.
Every indication to us is that the county is proceeding with that project as soon as possible.
Director Schicker.
Hi, thank you for that great presentation. I'm just making sure your presentation is not in our packet. Yours is a different PowerPoint from the presentation?
Correct.
Okay, because your presentation had information in it that isn't in this report, and so I just wanted to make sure that your report is the most updated.
Correct.
Because I don't have that information in front of me. There's
correct.
A lot of the contracts that are missing on this list. So, okay. So I would like to get a copy of that. That would be helpful.
Of course.
Too. And then the other question was about the deferred projects. Is that your recommendation, or is that what is going to be submitted to the IBANG? I mean,
that was our recommendation. Mm-hmm. That has already been submitted to IBANG, and IBANG has already approved the deferment of those projects.
So those are the ones that we would, if we're going to sign this tonight, those are the ones that we're going with.
Correct.
Okay. And then let Steve ask his questions. I might have one more. Thank you.
I really didn't have a question so much as a comment. When you do the main between Palisades and 9th, to get the county to sign off on it as relocated so that if they change their plans, I don't know if there's any way to stave off additional costs if they change their plans and tell us to relocate again. But I'm sure you'll do that.
Yes, right now the storm drain and the water line, the district's water line, are the proposed storm drain and the district's existing water line are in conflict. And we would be moving the water line towards outside of that conflicted area. So, and yes, I agree with that.
Director Schicker.
I remembered my other question. Did you receive approval from Fish and Wildlife for both sites, even though you can only drill one?
Correct. We received approval from U.S. Fish and Wildlife on both the South Bay and the Farrell Well site, both with mitigated measures. Snails, the Moro shoulder band snail, has been found at both sites. We defined the project construction area on both sites in the area protecting, in the center of the protected area. So we would have additional mitigation measures during the construction of that project, which includes biological assessment of the site. And another reason is we would like to stay outside of the rainy season, which reduces our biological assessment requirements.
Director Tacker, did you have another question?
I just, you know, the priorities have changed over time. And I guess I'm wondering if Wallace Group put forward the priorities, if our staff put forward the priorities, did our committee get to hash through these priorities? I don't see a justification for why we're here tonight in this order. You know, I think we all want everything done, but, you know, money is scarce, and how we implement each project, of course, is important. But like I said, I don't see justification for why some things are ahead of others.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Essentially, what you have is these are, with the exception of the LOVR upgrade, water main, which is something that we didn't see coming. It was unforeseen, and we learned of it actually last winter. So with the exception of that project and then the tank project, these are the high-priority projects that were identified in the master plan in 2002. As far as the priority, nothing's really changed here. We've had, the IBANG has given us a lot of flexibility in how we can move those monies around to better accomplish, you know, our goals. But with respects to the question how we came up with this, this was, you know, just really looking at what we were already doing and how we had to modify some of them to be able to accomplish them. Again, the 2002 Water Master Plan assigned, you know, ballpark figures, but really until you get into the nitty-gritty and then 4 years, 5 years down the road when you actually get designing into that level of detail, those costs have changed. We had tried to anticipate inflation, assigning a percentage over the years so there's not a huge sticker shock. But again, the projects here, with the exception of the LOVR upgrade and the tank lining, which we have an opportunity to bring both our tanks back up to virtually new. They're pretty much at the end of their life cycles. They're still the same projects. We did defer some due to just the present conditions.
I guess for me, when I go through the report, there's columns, and each contract is called out in a description, but I don't have an engineer's estimate next to it. So I guess that would have helped me with prioritizing myself. You know, are we talking a few dollars to get this done, or is this a really big one? And that's not in front of me tonight. I know we've had it in the past, mm-hmm. but because the board hasn't had this discussion in some time, that would have been helpful. Just a couple more things. The Planning Commission did look at the variance and granted it. Do we know if anyone has appealed that yet? I think that window probably closed today or tomorrow. So double check that, because it can go to the Board of Supervisors from there. And then the other thing, I watched the Planning Commission presentation, and there were simulated photos of what the site would look like afterward, and the tanks were green. Is green the color we're going with? And who made that decision? It seems to me it would warm the water. I don't know if that's a good thing. Does that spur bacteria? You know, in other instances, you'd want to match it with the sky. Sometimes tanks are blue or gray. So I was interested in the color green.
Okay. I'm going to take first going back to the engineer's estimate. What you have before you, and that's essentially how those monies got moved around, as Carrie mentioned, the dollar amounts that were on the bar graphs actually are based on the best engineer's estimate to date. And that's, in fact, what drove us to move the monies around to make those things happen. Let's see. As far as the tank, yes, we. I don't know. I haven't heard if anyone has appealed it, and we understand it's, I believe, a 10 or 14 day window for the appeal. So we're just kind of sitting tight, and we'll see what happens there. With respects to the color of the tank, that's the county. That's their color. That's what they want. It's a specification. It ironically is what I actually felt they should be a long time ago, because actually if you look into the hills, the color green they're going for is a very dark green, and it actually tends to blend better than that beige. But that wasn't our decision. That was pretty much a county decision, and in fact that is a specification that they're doing for all their tanks in the county. So that's how we got to the color green.
And one last thought before I'm ready to just hear from the public. I want to thank Lynn Tornotsky for her testimony at that Planning Commission and then her continued efforts in the neighborhood. Lynn is a neighbor, and she's done some outreach on her own, and I think that's been helpful to the district to get a successful permit.
I agree. Thanks, she's been fabulous in this process, because it's been a long road to get this variance. It was not easy. So, and we certainly appreciate Lynette's efforts.
Okay, I agree with that. Director Sparks, you had a question.
Yeah, one more question on, it goes back to the chart that was presented and then in our packet before. So in the total amount that we're going to use now, there's, every dollar is accounted for, and there's no contingency listed. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So any bids that come in, say, 10% over, we'll have to come back with a decision on whether to proceed with that specific project?
iBank, fortunately, if you go back to within my presentation, had the final chart that was just construction, engineering, the origination, and the total. iBank is completely only interested in just knowing the bottom line of the construction contracts, the bottom line of the engineering contracts. And within those two fields, we have the ability to move the money wherever we need to. So if we do come up short on one contract, however, or we exceed money on another contract, when the bids come in, we can move the money around without having to go back to iBank, which is a favorable opportunity for us.
It looks like it's time for public comment. Thank you for the presentation. If you'll make sure you stick around just in case there are questions that we need to ask of you. Thank you.
Good presentation. Thank you, Carrie, and thank you, George. Looks like Wallace Group and everybody that pitched in here, there was a big question up just a few months ago whether or not we would get approved, so that's really good. The other thing I want to talk about a little bit was you've got 800 laterals, which was the focus point for getting us water, and we have 2,900 or something like that, I think, connections all total. So that's only about a little less than a third of the system. So are we going to replace them all eventually? And will that be the second phase of the project? Because this is, I think you have about enough for about 1,200 or something like that, more 400 more laterals. I don't know. Could you clear up that one a little bit? I think the earthquake retrofit is pretty critical on an 8-inch pipe. It seemed like a priority to me. We've had an earthquake in 2003 in December, and we did have to retrofit the fire department, which is up Palisades or, you know, in that general area. So that was a concern that I have. Do you have some metering to show a pressure drop? Do you have a SCADA system in the water system that shows a pressure drop so you can find out very quickly, alarm will go off, and you will know exactly where to go so you won't lose so much water if a big main breaks? I wanted to know that. And then I want to know, has the district water company mapped all the shutoff valves in case of those kinds of emergencies? Do we have that ability to go send somebody out and shut that off if there is a break? The other concern that I have was the loan will not be issued until after the district pays for the work. So the district has to go out, put the project to bid, accept the bid, have the work done, and then the district will be repaid with a low interest loan. And that seems a little bit egregious to me in our financial condition right now, that might not be as easy to do. The amount of this is $5 million, or I think they spent $1 million or something, $4 million more, and we don't have a lot. Maybe Anna Jane could address how we are going to be able to come up with spending that money before they give us the loan. So I think those are some questions that I'd like to hear answered. And I do think that water is a priority. We're in a drought, saltwater intrusion. We want to be sustainable. We're not going to be able to get a lot of water from other communities because other communities, especially big urban areas, are buying a lot of the water that's out there already. So it's really important. So thank you for the hard work on that. You're all doing a great job. You look good tonight. The staff is doing a great job. Everything is really terrific. What a great CSD. My goodness.
As far as the money up front, I think that we only are responsible for drilling the wells and making sure that they're going to produce, and then we get reimbursed once they're outfitted. I mean, actually, iBank fronts us the money to equip and plug them into the system.
Would you like to clarify that?
Yeah, would you please?
In terms of the overall program itself, he is correct. We do typically, when any of our contracts that go out, whether it be the engineer or the contractor, submits a bill to the district. The district takes that bill and submits it monthly to iBank for reimbursement. We understand at this point our bills have not been large enough that has been an issue. But we do understand that time is going to be coming here fairly soon when we put contracts 1, 2, and 3 out to bid and the contractors start submitting $200,000, $300,000 fees. And we have spoken to iBank on this issue, and we are placing within the bid package the requirement that they will not be paid until we get the money back from iBank. So the district will not be out those funds at that point. In terms of the drilling of the well, you are correct. On the well, iBank has to ensure that the project is a project. And so the district is going to be required to put out the money for the drilling of the well. And once the well is tested and that well is determined that it is a good well, iBank will then turn around and reimburse the district for those funds, and they will pay for the equipping of the well.
Thank you. I'm Director Schicker.
What's the average turnaround for iBank to pay us back?
iBank, we submit, and iBank has typically turned around and paid us within 10 days. So they've been very quick to respond to us. However, we do not submit our we submit the disbursement request at the same time every month. So if the contractor submits a bill the day after we submit, they're going to be waiting 45 days potentially before they get paid.
Good communication will clear that. I'm sure they'll have their bill to you on time.
We will make sure that they know when we submit the disbursement requests. As far as the number of services to date, we have replaced over 30% of the services within the district, and those are the substandard services. Just to note, we did look at the potential for going out to bid on this project, and if we had done that, we would have only replaced 10% of the services. Is there any other questions?
George may have to answer this one about the monitoring of the system so that we know where a break occurs and we have adequate shutoff valves to be able to isolate leaks and that sort of thing. Could you address that?
Yeah, and specifically what the speaker was referring to is SCADA. The SCADA system is something that has been on our strategic plan since about 2001. Actually, in 2003, I had this system. We went as far as testing for radio frequency in the manner of how we get that data back to a central point. And it actually was scheduled through a budget in 2004 as well as to moving forward in developing that SCADA system. And SCADA, by the way, stands for Supervisory Computer Aided Data Acquisition, something like that. But essentially what these are sensors that through radio frequency send back information to a central computer, and essentially you can monitor the whole system where you actually can turn pumps on and off with a keyboard. So it really is state of the art. It is, well, I mean, it's been state of the art for about 15, 20 years, but we're moving in that direction. No, our system does not have that capability at this time. So essentially, like the sinkhole you saw up on the screen, that was a, we actually got notified when the residents called the sheriff's department and said they had 3 inches of water in their home. And of course, our standby operator was dispatched. And it's interesting because he put a barricade where the water was gushing up, went back to call for backup. And this is again 1:30 in the morning. And when he came back, he didn't think he was on the right street because he couldn't find the barricade. And what happened at that time, the sinkhole, everything disappeared. So, certainly a pressure monitor in the system would have alerted us much quicker than that.
Do you have a rough idea of what that SCADA system would cost?
About $100,000.
Okay. Thank you.
If I might, the new booster pump station, the electronics, they're all set up with the, I think it's a 420 milliamp signal, but they're already got the logic controllers or terminal units there, so it's just a matter of plugging into it. So it's nothing that's going to be rework we need to do. These are almost standards they do in the industry now when they build.
Thank you. Additional public comment on this item?
Hello, in Perwin Prohibition Zone, and thanks for the report. It was very educational. It seems that everybody's going in the right direction on this. It does seem that the improvements are probably plateauing out a little bit, in that, as appropriately, the worst problems have been fixed, and obviously for the long-term survival of this district and this unincorporated area, as many of those should be fixed as possible. But as far as Mr. Milanis was talking about, I'm sure that the service lines at some level do branch out into trunks, main trunks, and secondary trunks. And so I would support that we really understand the usage, as opposed to we should really be able to understand the trends in water usage, and that calls for the numbers that Director Tacker alluded to. In other words, possibly, if there's possible to install flow meters on the main trunks, and then you can subtract out the meters from the houses and figure out what your total flows are. And then we'll know if we're at 8% or whether it's numbers on the books or whether it's water missing in the sands at people's houses or at the main trunks. So that's just a suggestion. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. I'm not sure I actually understood everything that was going on with that presentation. It was very lengthy and informative. The way I understood it, though, we're going to be supplying water to S&T with no meters, and they're already bothered with saltwater intrusion to the effect that they don't have anything farther east to drill wells in, so they're already hooked up with Golden State. I was a little more extreme. I think I was disappointed to hear that we've decided not to drill the wells, drinking water wells in the upper aquifer, but we're going to redo a well in the lower aquifer so we can be sure and get S&T water so they don't have saltwater intrusion, and the saltwater intrusion won't bother them, and we can just pump the heck out of lower aquifer. I'm terribly upset, actually, that those drinking water wells aren't drilled in the upper aquifer. This is the greatest thing we could do to at least slightly delay saltwater intrusion on our lower aquifer wells. So I'd like to see that refigured some way or another. We also have a new system in the area, which really should be signed on by the CSD to take care of the two community septic tanks, collective septic tanks we've got, so that we can have zero discharge from those and be out of our ACL fines, which were, by the way, set on you with tests, polluted samples from test wells. You were fined with polluted samples from test wells. They used the same test on the CDOs. Thank you.
I think for clarification, we don't have interties happening as part of this work, so we're not going to be exchanging water with S&T or Golden State yet. That'll all come out through the ISJ later on. And the well that we are putting in at South Bay Boulevard, the new well, is an upper aquifer well. And the next agenda item, we'll be talking about using reserves for an upper aquifer well at Farrell. If we postpone any of the wells that we intended to drill, it would be the lower aquifer well at Farrell at this time.
Thank you.
I'm happy.
Can I ask a question before you start my time? We have three items here dealing with basically the water department. There was some crossover in this presentation. Should we wait on things dealing with the water replacement lines till later? Or, I mean, I can fill all 3 minutes, but...
We're having public comment after item B. You could assume we're going to have it after C and D. Yes.
Okay. First comment I want to make is just keep in mind as we go on through these tonight that water consumption is the driver of water production. Because there's some false information in district literature and there's false information in reports. Now it turns out that some of the information that went to the county actually for the resource capacity study, it turns out to be false. And it's backed up by reports submitted from this district water department to this board in the past. And I guess I'll wait until we get to the production and the water service lines to talk about that. But my, on this contract, I don't think you've had the discussion of the priorities and what the priorities need to be for the financial future of this district dealing with, is there a priority of needing to do one project over another and having it paid by the iBank or having it paid out of reserves? And my emphasis here is the other well being paid out of the iBank and maybe reprioritizing some of these things on the list and letting the iBank pick this up at this point with the situation you're in and the limited reserves in the water department that you may need for some other project down the road. There was a, you know, you've seen the report from the two committees that met, Water Ops and Finance. But that doesn't give you a complete, oh, you were there. I'm sorry, Chuck was there. So was Steve. So was Joe. There was a lot more conversation than what was put forth in that report. And I haven't heard any of that discussion tonight. Not only are you responsible for the water department and the district's water supply, but you're also responsible for the financial security of this district down the road. And I think the priorities of where things may play out in the end and what it's going to leave in reserves. Because I think I just heard, and I'd like clarification, that the iBank will pay for the drilling of the well if it's a good well. But I think what we were told the other night is it has to be a good well and it has to be put online. So we need clarification on that before we go into the next agenda item, because that's going to make a big difference, and it could make a big difference on what decisions you make later. If it's only drilling wells that end up good, then why wouldn't you want all three of those wells, or at least two of them, taken care of by the iBank? Thank you.
Just to make it perfectly clear, the iBank reimburses after we put a well into production. They do not reimburse us for just punching a well and capping it. We have to put it into our distribution system before we get reimbursed for anything. Okay, thank you.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. So I'll just go back to the agenda item, which, sure, I think the iBank, we should authorize it and sign it and be done with it. I just think that everything that is subsequent on the agenda and everything that comes after this regarding projects has to be reviewed by the committees to the board to make sure that you are making the right decisions on the projects. You know, I am disappointed with the wells that were proposed, and you guys were excited. I think everyone was excited that we're going to be able to increase our capacity, and it's all been switched around and actually dropped, pretty much dropped in the laps of the committee in the last meeting. Regarding the painting the tanks, when I was living in San Diego, there was a large water tank, about three times the size of the ones we're talking about, and there was a community effort to want to paint the t- tanks blue or paint them gray or whatever color. And they decided that the maintenance cost of having to repaint that tank was not worth it, so they were overruled. And what they did is they sandblasted it, and the natural oxidation and the red oxide and all that is actually protecting that tank. And what they did, which was kind of strange, is they put clouds out of sheet metal all around it at the top. I mean, but you don't notice it, you know, because of the color. You know, if you paint it blue, then it's going to have a contrast depending on the, you know, but anyways. And I, everything else is related to the following agenda items. Thank you.
They're doing Los Osos. Yeah, if it only was outdoor decor, then I'd be pretty happy with the problems. I am kind of concerned with the retrofit for the earthquake proofing of whatever project we're going to be doing. And that is a big concern of mine. And I'd like to, again, emphasize the fact that I'm glad that we had the IE Bank extended. Could you clarify for me again, are we drilling upper aquifer wells, or are we suspending that? Are we drilling another lower aquifer well? Because I didn't quite get the gist of that. But other than that, I don't find anything wrong with the numbers. And I'm just concerned about the retrofit for the earthquake proofing of some stuff, because, boy, we could lose a lot. And the prioritizing of that. And whatever you can bring back later on after signing this agreement is fine, but it should go through extensive review of what is a priority and what is not. Thank you.
Again, at this point, through the I-Bank, we're going to drill one upper aquifer well, South Bay Boulevard, and the next agenda item will talk about the Farrell wells, which would be originally planned an upper and a lower aquifer, and we're going to talk about what we should do in terms of getting at least an upper aquifer well drilled there. But one thing to think about is that production without storage capacity is really only part of the picture, and we need storage capacity to really have too many more wells in service at this point. But one thing maybe you could clarify for us is if we postpone half of that seismic retrofitting now, we're going to take care of the Los Osos Valley Road portion, what's the likelihood, how do we prioritize or accomplish the part that's deferred? Didn't you say on Palisades there was a section of line that needed to be seismically retrofitted and we were going to defer that for now?
We are not deferring any portion of the Palisades seismic upgrade project. We have changed the scope. And as I discussed previously, there were four connections that we were going to install. We are now only installing the two connections on the 8-inch AC line, which is still the brittle, which will continue to be the brittle portion of the transmission main. The portion on LOVR that is being up, that is currently 8-inch AC, will be upgraded to a 16-inch ductile iron pipe and will no longer need seismic correction, seismic connections. So, changing the name to LOVR water main upgrade, the only reason for that is because now that is the dominating feature of the project. However, we still are incorporating half of the seismic upgrade project. The seismic upgrade project was only a $15,000 project to begin with. It was a very minute project as compared to the other $499 million. So this project has significantly increased from the inception of this project or this contract.
Okay, so we will take care of the seismic retrofitting that needs to be done. Let it
correct.
Rock and roll.
The,
okay.
The transmission main from Palisades all the way to its introduction into your district water system, which happens at 9th Street and LOVR, will be seismically upgraded, one, by two connections on Palisades, and then two, by your 16-inch ductile iron pipe. So we will have seismic upgrades to that main.
Thank you, Carrie. Additional public comment on agenda item B. Okay, with that, we'll bring it back to the board, and we'll look for direction here. Director Schicker.
Just one question, and I'm ready to make a motion. Is this agreement amendable again, and how?
The answer is yes. If we come down the line and determined that, one, we still do not have sufficient funds, or another project changes scope, it depends on the modification that the staff or the district board requests in the future, and that will depend on how we request the change to iBank. We would not like to change anymore because that takes time and effort on our part to submit that request. However, it is possible.
Great, thank you. Mr. Murphy, do we have to make separate motions for the amendment and the resolution?
No, I believe that you moved to adopt the resolution, direct the president to sign the agreement that is authorized by the resolution, and then direct staff to move forward. And it could be a single motion.
Okay, I make a motion to for staff recommendation with all of the above.
Second with discussion. I'd like our committees to be hashing and rehashing priorities in the future.
Are you saying you want to delay the approval of this?
No, I'll vote for this tonight, but okay. What I want is that the future, that it is taken to the committees and not, you know, dropped in their lap like last week.
Okay, but I would point out that only two items of this list have been added since the 2002 master plan. Everything has been identified as a high priority since 2002.
I understand.
Except for
high
the tank.
Priority.
Yeah, okay.
But the order in which they go out may be what we can adjust.
Did I hear a second right before that request for discussion? Okay. Ms. Vega, could we have a roll call for the resolution, please?
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Schicker.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Sparks.
Yes.
President Cicina.
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to action item C, and this is consider use of water department reserves for drilling supplemental water supply wells, and specifically this would be at Farrell, I believe. And George, do you have a presentation for us?
Yeah, thank you. I don't have a presentation in that context as far as PowerPoint, but in your packet, what I've tried to do is give an overview of where we're at now with respects to the deferral of or changing the scope of the original three wells we looked to do. This, after further discussion with not only our district engineer, Rob Miller, I had also discussed with Spencer Harris and John Seitz, there were issues that certainly I had in my mind with regard to moving forward with this. After it was all said and done, given that we do have a current concurrence letter with mitigating conditions for the Farrell site, it just seems to me the best bang for the buck here is let's get that upper aquifer well drilled. To go after both of them, of course, would mean obligating over $200,000 of our reserves, and that just was something that kind of kept going in my mind. We have received now a revised bid for drilling the upper aquifer well at the Farrell site. It's $65,000, and yes, we would essentially use reserves as what's being proposed here to get that job done. But I believe on a bigger picture, what that does allow us to do is get in there, actually get the work, get that well established, a wellhead, and essentially it deals with the site. So in the future, coming back to do a lower well at any point, whether that's 2 years or 5 years out, The site's been prepped. We won't have issues pertaining to the snail at that time, because once we do establish a wellhead, you know, there's some clearance we have to do, probably some type of road base or something that's going not to create habitat, and that's the idea here. We have spent a sufficient amount of funds in the biological assessments, and they do take time. It's not something just set out and do. You have to wait for rain events, and it took some time. We did get it done, but we have a window of time here to really get this well in. Feral, would be a good well in the event that we needed to, for whatever reason, an additional source of water. We would have it, it would be there, and it would just be a matter of putting a pump in there and tying it into the system. So staff's recommendation tonight is to move forward while we have Filippone and Thompson in town drilling the South Bay well, is move over, get the upper aquifer well at Farrell, and just be that far further along in the production moving forward with this supplementary source of water.
Okay. Questions then would be, we know how much it'll cost to drill the two, 65 for the upper aquifer, 130 or so for the lower. How much will it cost to equip and bring them into the system for each well? Now, if we wanted to go ahead and put them into production and so that we could get iBank reimbursement,
how much?
Both, for each one separately.
Okay, we've allotted up to $250,000 for the South Bay. This is not only drilling, which is, I believe, the revised figure is around $60,000. Once we determine, and we're going in, by the ways, with a high degree of confidence, this is going to be a good well. We've got a lot of information out there. So given that, the equipping, there are some nitrates in that water. We know that. And so the additional piping, we're allowing up to an additional, $180,000, $190,000 for the actual blending if it's a facility that we need. And we believe that is a conservative number. With respects to getting that job done, we feel that that is adequate. As far as the upper at Farrell, again, this one we believe, we don't know for sure, but we believe it would be a well with nitrates, but not necessarily meeting the threshold where we have to blend. If that's the case, really, it's just a matter of putting a pump in there. A pump will, let's say, $15,000, $20,000, and then some type of disinfection or a chlorinator that will provide the disinfectant, and that could literally be tied right into the system. Feral, we actually have the line that's connected to our system that comes into the property to right around the wellhead, so it would be a matter of the pipe assemblies that would have to be constructed is probably less than 100 feet to actually tie it into the system. So I think for under $50,000, if push came to shove, we could certainly put the upper aquifer well into service once it's drilled.
Okay, and then the lower aquifer would be quite a bit more, and it's the upper that we're really wanting to use now and focus on anyway, so I won't hold you to a number for that. Okay. Thank you. There are questions from the board.
The item is consider use of water department reserves for drilling. Can you tell me what reserves we have currently?
If I may, I'd like to defer that to our interim general manager, Anna Jane.
The water fund currently has $300,000 in contingency reserves. Oh, that's the number we have in place.
Okay. Would you have a recommendation of what's a safe place to be, whether we draw down these funds?
I think that the board should consider actions to replenish those reserves as soon as possible. And it was the conversations have been that this water rate study, that we have some of the major assumptions that we just didn't have in place before are about in place now, and that we should go forward with that study. And as it becomes evident, the exact amount we would have to use of our reserves, that we should work that into that water rate study and have those replenished.
So,
because the district, so I guess what I'm saying is that we should not, we need to have those $300,000 in reserves. We've talked about this a lot, that we are at a very minimal level of reserves, and that's why when George and I talked about it, and I thought it was a better conservative idea to just drop the lower aquifer well completely, for now, because that is more costly. So this is a much more conservative approach and much more doable for the district.
If I might, in your last report, there was some talk about the line replacement, and then in our next item, we're going to talk about continuing contracts with those laborers. And correct me if I'm wrong, there was $141,000 left in that budget, something like that, but then some of that has been spent or allocated, and that there's actually $56,000. Maybe that was Carrie's report.
Yeah, that is correct. Currently, the budgets that you saw on those charts were as of the extension request that was updated. Those numbers are through the end of July. And in August, we submitted a subsequent disbursement request to iBank. And the majority of that money on that disbursement request was for the contract with SUSE for the pavement restoration in contract 6. So that $141,000 is actually reduced by $88,000 if you were to take it to current day budgets. A couple of the other contracts are slightly lower than what you saw, but nothing of any subsequence. Of any substance as compared to contract 6.
Okay, I guess what I'm wondering is the district has been replacing substandard lines since its existence. George said that tonight. And before we entered into contract 6 as a project, we did it on an emergency basis or as a O&M, part of our operations and maintenance. And I'm not sure how this money all works with the iBank, but it seems to me that if we've got $56,000 left in contract 6 that's iBank money or fundable, that would work in this instance, and perhaps we resume the line replacement in an operations and maintenance fashion as we did prior to beginning the contract work, if you follow me.
Yes, I do. Just for clarification, the service lines in the past have been really attacked on emergency basis. These are, breaks, people saying there's water running down the street. There were a certain degree that were identified as our meter readers go out there and would notice a meter box full of water, for instance, or if not full of water, certainly the areas around it saturated. So we would identify those. They would identify those, as a matter of fact, the same time they read the meters. And then we'd come back and try to hit those as our time allowed. And we did get some done. It's in the program itself. We've been able to certainly accelerate the lines within the district, replacing those, just because we've got a focused effort, and that's all these guys have done for literally 35 months is pull lines. If you really think about it, I can tell you we are over 800. I'm not sure at how much over 800, but we have replaced over 800. That's an awful lot of services It's not all, and it would be my intent to literally within the next 3 years to 4 years, replacing them all. Of course, that's really dependent on the manpower we throw at it. When you've got the program itself, we've been averaging, and I don't have those figures directly in front of me, but we're easily pulling 30 to 50 lines a month, and that's how we were able to really move forward with this program. Just putting it part of our operations, it's difficult. I mean, we can certainly, it's something that I have incorporated, but it's really as time warrants, so we'll get out there and fix, you know, lines when, you know, when we can. So it's really, again, the main impetus for me in extending and exhausting this budget is the next line they fix may be a real leaker. You know, I still got a lot of unaccounted water for it. In my mind, I'd like to get under the 5% as far as the loss in the system. And exhausting this budget and looking to replace as many as we can, I think gets us much further with the conservation we're trying to, you know, certainly gear everyone towards. And this is really, again, the gist of that, of the service line poll. That, you know, I don't know if we want to, that's kind of the next item, but as far as answering your question, that's kind of where we've been doing it, how we've been approaching that program.
I think I understood that, and my question is that we've got $56,000 left in that contract, and rather than apply it to six more months of, you know, maybe it's 30 lines, it's not going to do all the work that needs to be done. It's still a partially completed project. That this money would be better spent getting that well online and reducing draw on the lower basin by using the upper basin. The board can talk about it. The public, I'm sure, is going to comment on it, but I have to tell you that that's kind of where I'm at right now.
George, you know, a clarification is that the iBank won't reimburse us for the drilling of that other well. We can't spend that money on it unless we fully equip it. We would have to spend more than that $60,000 in order to get that money back from the iBank.
So, that was part of my question also.
Yeah.
So kind of what it comes down to is we need to find $115,000 or so to take out of the iBank to be able to fully bring this well into production, and that means pushing out some of the other work in addition to the
upper was 65, and that the equipping of their upper ferrule was 50 more. Is that what you said?
Okay, let me back up and clarify.
It's not clear.
The South Bay, if you look at your packet,
it's on page B4. It's
the South Bay, the revised is 60,000. We've allotted 250,000, and that's to that would entail not only the drilling, you know, be it, it turns out to be a good well for us. That would cover the drilling, the 60,000. And then approximately we've allowed up to 190,000 to equip, outfit, do the necessary plumbing or pumping and tying that into our South Bay facility for $190,000. So the total is $250,000. That is just South Bay. That's just the South Bay well. The Farrell well, we have a price of $65,000 to develop that one. That would just really get us, it's cased, you know, and we've got it capped, but we've got, so to speak, our straw in that basin. What I suggested is if there was a dire emergency and we needed to put that into the system, A pump would probably run us $20,000-$25,000. We have to do corrosion control and we have to disinfect. That's just state law. We have to do that. We could probably do equip it to a point where we're putting it into the system, but that doesn't allow for a small structure, a house. If anyone have taken the tour of our facilities, you can see all our well sites are housed, you know, because there's scales in there. We have feeder pumps. I mean, it's quite an operation. You know, $50,000 really just looks at, you know, setting a chlorinator up, put a tarp on it, or it wouldn't be how I would set it up. And the only reason I throw that out there was in a case of an emergency. If we just had to rely on this well for whatever reason to tonight, was what the iBank approved. They did not approve a lower well. They did not approve an upper well at Farrell. We essentially said those are not part of the project. What our project is, and that's what we did, was scale down the scope of that work, is our identified project is the South Bay well, okay? The only reason this item is before you tonight is the fact that we have a concurrence letter, we have some mitigated conditions, but the door is open for us to get in there and do something with Farrell. You know, if we wait till next year, probably back into more surveys, more assessments, and we're spending more money. So I'm really just trying to make good with the money we've already spent. And by developing the upper well at the price we've got here allows us not only to establish that wellhead, but to me, the advantage is we've prepared the site and the site's ready should we want to come in with a lower
okay.
in a future date.
But how do you get it into the iBank program? By amendment then? Because it's not in this list.
Well,
next year? Can you amend when and how?
One thing I want to clarify with the projects with iBank, one of the stipulations on the iBank projects is they require the district, if we have stipulated as a project, they require us to complete that project in whole in order to us to make good on the contract that we are signing with the district. And that is one of the reasons why we reduced the contract down from three wells down to one well, because we wanted to ensure that the district had the funds. So if, say, the three wells came in and we decided to stay with the three wells and we did not have enough money within the iBank funds to fund those projects, the whole entire project itself, the district would have to come up, as a requirement in the contract, would have to come up with the additional funds for funding all three of those wells. So as Anna Jane had said, we took the more conservative approach, no understanding the district's current situation, and we reduced the scope down to one well. That way we can ensure that we know at this time we feel we have enough money to fund the one well. If all the bids come back in, the construction market's starting to you know, settle down and go down a little bit, and construction budgets come in favorably for us, for contracts 1, 2, 3, and fund the projects that your highest priority projects, which we feel are the highest priority projects, which is contracts 1, 2, and 3.
Director Sparks.
Just one more question, and maybe it's been answered. I didn't understand this correctly. On the South Bay well, we're committing $60,000, and then the equipping is going to be $190,000 because the budget is $250,000.
That's correct.
Okay. And I know we'll talk about it later, but in terms of the water line replacement, we've heard we have $56,000 left. Now, is it $56,000 left or $30,000 left in that budget?
At this time, I believe it is $56,000 that is left in the budget. And we've been replacing services of the cost of about $490 per service. Okay. So if someone has a calculator, they can...
The reason I ask that, there's later an administrative report that says there's $30,000. So I don't know if there's a month delay in there or...
Yeah, George and I realized that this afternoon that there was a discrepancy, and I'm going to look into that discrepancy tomorrow to see. But I, from my understanding, is there is $56,000 left in the budget, and I will make sure that that's correct, and I can provide the board with an update if that's different.
And I guess that's really, we can talk about that in the next item.
Director Sennett?
Yes. George, there was mention that there was an economy in having Filippone and Thompson drill the Upper Aquifer Faro well along with the South Bay well, and that was supposedly due to mobilization cost savings. And it seems, foot for foot, the Upper Aquifer Faro well is, you know, $5,000 cheaper if you prorate out foot for foot. I don't know if that's really accurate, but have these contracts gone out to bid to other drilling companies to actually prove that out, that it really is cheaper to get it done now rather than have a company come in later if we wanted to?
Yeah, and let me answer that a couple, just give a little history here. When we originally went out for these three wells, what you have before you tonight is the revised quote for drilling these wells. This actually went out. We did go out to bid. We got two bids. It was Maggioro Brothers and Filippone and Thompson were the two bids that we got in. They did revise their bid. They dropped it, I think, from $360,000 for those three wells down to about $340,000. Filippone and Thompson, at the same time, they were awarded the lowest responsive bidder. Their bid was at $231,000. So we essentially gained. There was over $110,000 left on the table there. So we were, of course, ecstatic that it paid off in rebidding this. Of course, we awarded this last August, September. They've been on hold since then. We didn't move forward. We had to do the protocol survey on the snails and so on and so forth. But ultimately, where we're at today is they've revised their bid. If you work out the arithmetic, it's about 13% increase. So to answer your second question, essentially these wells only become more expensive the longer you wait. So I'll just leave it at that.
And then the way I look at it, this poises us for the opportunity to develop it if the funding is available, which if we don't do it now would probably go beyond the actual term of the loan. Is that right, or is that accurate? That if we don't develop it now and we wanted to develop it later on, say in a year, that would push us out beyond the term, the actual dated term of the loan?
Yeah, and if you were going to push it that long, you may even want to look at rebidding it again, which, of course, costs additional money to rebid and go through the same process, not to mention would probably trigger additional biological assessments on the site. So either way, you know, as time moves on, you know, time is money.
Okay, I have three questions for you. Why did we pick the more expensive of the upper aquifer wells to fully develop now? I mean, South Bay is more expensive than the Farrell well, it looks like, to bring online. Is that because we could get the I-Bank loan?
It would have to be the Farrell and the upper aquifer. Both would have to be developed. We know the lower Farrell well, the one that's proposed in the future, the nitrates aren't a problem. Of course, it's in the lower aquifer. So to develop that blending facility there, if in fact the upper aquifer does exceed the nitrates, it just really exponentially cost.
Okay. Right. Second question. How much of our water comes from lower aquifer wells versus upper aquifer wells right now?
Well, most all our wells, of course, are in the east compartment, which is, while it is it's kind of the medium. I believe it's the aquifer is the C section. So it's not quite in the lower, but they're fairly deep wells. But they are all in the eastern compartment. The only well we have on the edge of the western compartment of the basin is the Palisades well. And that is definitely in the zone D, which is, of course, the same zone the Pecho well and Golden State has theirs toward the ocean.
I'm just trying to get a feel for how much pumping from that critical aquifer we could compensate or offset with the development of the Farrell well now. You know, could we stop using Palisades if we had the upper Farrell well? But it sounds like we need something to blend with that possibly still.
Well, and let me clarify. We have, because we don't want to kind of amplify what's coming out of that lower, we've backed off Palisades. And as a matter of fact, Palisades over the last 6-7 months probably pumps less than 3 hours, 4 hours a day. And it's really strictly to keep it fresh. You don't just want it to sit stagnant and keep everything operating. But we don't draw on that well. Essentially all the demand, and right now it's about 1 million gallons a day, what we produced for the community is all being supplied between the 10th, the South Bay, our 3rd Street well, and then one more in there, 8th Street.
And those are all Zone C, not D or E?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the likelihood, or would it be cheaper for Golden State to outfit the upper Farrell well for us as opposed to denitrifying water from their Pecho?
That's pulling the salt water into the lower basin. So stands to reason if that could be shut down or at least decreased by a source water other than what's coming out of that compartment, we would stand to benefit.
Is that a lower aquifer well at Pecho? It must be.
Yes, it is.
And it's also got nitrate problems, because aren't they denitrifying? Okay, they're not yet. Okay, I thought that was part of their PUC request to.
I know John's probably looking at this, but I understood the one proposal was to denitrify the Rosina, and be able to denitrify that.
Okay, that's the one.
Plumb that over to Pecho, okay, and then continue to pump that. I believe so, but please, I don't know that for sure.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the board at this time? Okay, public comment on this item. Thank you, George.
Well, George, that was a pretty interesting comment. And my concern is nitrogen. I think it's about 15 milligrams per liter. Bob Stark lives over on Napomo, which I believe the South Bay well is on around Napomo. So we see 15 milligrams per liter nitrogen in that water. So the question I have for you is that if you're going to blend that kind of water down, that's going to be maybe a 2-to-1 or a 3-to-1, I don't know. And I think your idea, Chuck, of going with ion exchange and seeing if you can partner with Golden State on that would eliminate all the nitrogen problem in that water. And that would be, that's 60 cents a thousand gallons, which I don't think that's a heavy penalty, George. I don't know how you feel about that, but 60 cents a thousand gallons seems like a pretty economical way to go. And we don't have to go to the PUC like they did. And they have a 50% extra capacity in their infrastructure when they get it in. So, you know, how you handle the water and how much production you get per day is kind of interesting to me. An 8-inch well, how many acre feet can that pull? And if you do you want to pull it 8 hours, 12 hours, or how many hours? I'd like to have an answer to how you're going to handle it per 3 hours. So we lost our well at Fern. We lost our well at Farrell. And I wonder if the drillers are willing to guarantee us, because we paid for that drilling in those wells, and we lost both of those wells. Yeah, Fern was lost. it dropped down, and it was lost. So the monitoring there, we don't have it anymore. We paid for that. So I'd like to ask, I have a concern about, are they going to guarantee that these wells, if they lose them, we're not going to get rebuilt for redrilling it?
Can you answer that, George? I'm not sure what you meant by lost. We lost.
I'm sorry? Yeah, we lost them. They're gone. Oh, Farrell was lost, too.
Okay. I don't know if there are any guarantees. What kind of guarantees you have when you start drilling? I mean, I don't think anybody can guarantee you water. Water. But their work.
They dropped
the well. Well, I don't know. Is there an answer to that? Are they guaranteed at least a good casing for us, even if we don't get water, good water?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what they do. And it would be cased, I think it's down sanitary seal to 50 feet. So I think what I was referring to is there was a well, a monitoring well, to look at saltwater intrusion that was put in out there at Fern. We collected, we did collect quite a bit of data out of there, but the well itself, the rig that was left there did the sand basically gave way, and essentially we had to abandon that well. The intent was to maintain it as a monitoring well for that side of the basin. As far as the cost, that was part of the $220,000 grant that we received to do the groundwater study. So not to say that that's how okay, but...
How unusual is that?
It was actually, Spencer thought it was quite unusual.
It's one of the risks, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Do they write in warranties? Not something that's typically
sanded in. So it was a project that we went in thinking we could rehabilitate it. If you recall, we went out there and actually tried to rehabilitate that well. It just wasn't going to pan out, so we abandoned that effort. And we didn't, we knew that, you know, within half a day of getting in there and trying to do some work, so we just cut them off and pulled out of there.
Thank you. Well, I suppose that depends on how often you're, how long you're running the pump during the day.
Well, can you give us an idea?
Is it really important, relevant? I mean, Al.
It's the production of that well that justifies the cost of the well.
I don't know if we have a guesstimate of what we're going to be able to produce there.
At this point, we don't. Spencer Harris and Cleath and Associates have done analysis on all of the sites and have looked to see what the potential yield is, but we won't know that answer for sure until after we drill the well and test it. So that answer won't be known for a couple more months.
Thank you. Mr. Payne.
good evening again. Bruce Payne, Los Osos. Wanted to thank the young lady for the explanation of why we're only drilling one upper aquifer well. That makes me feel a lot better that we're doing what we can afford to do first. And so it sounds like a great plan. Production in any well has some dependency upon the aquifer it's drilled into and the gravel pack around it that allows the water to come into that well. In other words, if you put a real high-capacity pump in a well that the water could only run into at half that rate, you would burn your pump up, or you would, you know. So there's a lot of things dependent on how much production you're going to get out of a well, and wells do cave in. We had a well on a ranch, and I would probably be a grain farmer today if it hadn't caved in. So I know how that stuff works. There are ways of making sure you got the gravel pack, and you know, even you do the best you can, and sometimes things still happen. I think there's ways to on this water project. Thank you.
Additional public comment.
Jerry Walsh. I have a lot of questions here. Number one is, when do we expect to hear from Coastkeeper Hensley with a snail lawsuit on this project? Would it be before or after the fact? Number two, how much additional cost to bring Farrell online as far as disinfecting, control corrosion, and housing, etc.? And how much is allowed for painting? And how often does the tank need to be repainted? And can you look into Keith's idea of sandblasting, like San Diego did, to lose money, or save money, I mean? And I ask these questions because I'd rather see an upper aquifer well before more line replacement. Thank you.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I think one of the unfortunate things that's happened here as far as process is concerned is that it would have been nice for the board to have discussed all of these potential projects and aligning them in a way that would have been a benefit and to figure out how to budget these things out. But I remember I arrived late at the committee meeting, but I remember there was a statement at the bottom regarding the other agenda item that there was not anything to be changed, and it was not to be reviewed by a board or a committee. That was it. It was in stone. I thought that Cleath and Associates did do some analysis and some testing and to see which was going to be the most viable wells to drill instead of just having a dry well, that we were actually going to get some capacity out of it. And are there any lines that were, or any wells that were online that were taken offline because of high contamination or high nitrates that could be restored? And it was interesting the comment about, you know, the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost. But, you know, he just made a statement that it was $300,000+, and then he waited, and all of a sudden we saved $100,000+. So, I don't understand the logic in that. It just seems that would be the best thing for us to do is do one and then do another. If once we get this completed, we see how much it's going to cost. Well, I don't want to get into it. But, you know, at least the board should have had more input as we were developing this iBank extension.
Richard Margetson, the interaction of these items. For all those ex-directors out there, did you hear the novel idea tonight that something was sent out for rebid? And it actually came in at a lower price. I congratulate George on that. I think everything's kind of been said. I still am curious as to if we have a complete understanding of what it's going to take to bring the Farrell well online that the iBank will fund. The minimum is the building required. And maybe I missed it, but did we hear what the cost of a building would be for that structure? Maybe you said it and I missed it. I'm going to leave it at that for this item and wait till the next one. Thanks.
Okay, additional public comment. Okay. Okay, I think the one clarification, it seemed I heard this asked twice. What I heard was that it would take $50,000 on top of the $65,000 to drill the well to bring Farrell up to a point where iBank would reimburse us for bringing it online. That would not include everything that would outfit it the way our other wells are outfitted with little buildings and ancillary whatever's And I don't know how much more that would take. We did not hear that. But I think I heard $50,000 on top of the 65, so a total of 115 for the upper Farrell. And then I don't know, I heard a question about, are there other wells that we could restore that have been lost to pollution, deionized, whatever, that kind of thing, and I don't know the answer to that. Anything you could offer that way?
Well, I'll take a stab out of here. Let me start with the most recent, because that's what I actually remember you saying. Is not usable. Spencer did put together this study, and essentially that's how we got to the three wells we were going to develop. These were three. We own the properties, and in fact, the South Bay, we already have a facility there. So these were the identified wells from the Cleith report that were the most feasible from a standpoint of dollars per million gallons we could essentially enjoy from these wells. So that's how we got to these three wells. And again, it morphed from there. We've reduced it now to a South Bay well. With regards to the upper aquifer well, I guess the question has to be asked, do we need that to meet our demand today? And that's why we're essentially saying, let's develop it, let's cap it. We don't need the extra water today. The fact is everything, the water we're producing for the community at this point is all being pulled from the eastern compartment. And we do have adequate capacity. We have a combination without the South Bay well of, I think we're close to 1,700 gallons per minute if we were to actually operate all five of our wells and the additional South Bay well that we're looking to develop here with the iBank loan. So I'm not sure what the why we would want to put and spend the extra money on an upper aquifer well at Farrell at this point, because it really doesn't gain us anything, and it really doesn't, other than to say, yeah, we're using our upper aquifer well, it's not an issue from a standpoint that we need it. Now, again, you have a developed wellhead. Should there be a dire emergency where we were to lose some wells for some unexpected reason, you had a big earthquake, and sometimes things shift underground, it is something we could fall back onto. It is something that the board at that point could look at and go, well, maybe it's time to develop that well. But I don't really see the real priority in spending money trying to put this well online at this point. And again, the question is, you first have to drill it to find out what your capacity and what your water quality is going to be. At that point, you can assess, okay, can we put it into the system or not? We will know that if we have 10 milligrams per liter. Now, what are you going to do with it? Of course, it's going to cost you much more money to blend it, because you don't have another well to blend with, unless you actually bring in water in for the distribution. But that's still going to take some type of settling tank. It'll take some type of configuration of piping to get the CT or the contact time and be able to blend it at the ratio to get you down under that threshold. So again, I think at this point, the best thing we could do is let's establish that wellhead. If that's the board's desire, let's look at it. Let's see what the flow, the capacity is, what the quality, what we're going to get out of it, and then look down the line to what we want to do with it. And again, you brought up a good point, Chuck. As we sit down, all purveyors, and we start looking at what is the best way to manage this basin, certainly the ability to have another source for water runs in the district's favor, whatever happens down the line.
And it was $50,000 to bring that to a point where iBank would say that's a good well, right? That's a guess, but and a little bit more to equip it the way you'd like it equipped.
Yeah.
Another $20,000. Okay. Director Schicker.
This is a question for Carrie, please. It has to do with the iBank
what George just said, and the only way we can get this funded by iBank is if we have extra money. We can't amend for price, right? We can only amend for amendment for an additional well. We can't amend for price. So all of this is moot if the bids don't come in right.
Correct.
Is that true?
The bottom line number, the $5 million, is a firm price. We cannot change that budgetary number. Now, within each of the contracts, we can move money around. And so, we have that ability without notifying iBank, actually. Unless we want to move money from engineering to construction or construction to engineering, then we have to notify iBank that we are making that change.
But I heard you say earlier that the contract pieces were not amendable.
Each contract, yes, we can go back to iBank and change scope of work if needed.
So as Director Tacker suggested, can you amend the replacing of the lines to reduce the amount and apply that to a well, or no?
In terms of will not be reimbursed by iBank. If we do have additional funds to be able to equip this well, and what we mean by equipping the well and where iBank stands on how they're going to fund that project is that well has to be brought into service. So the district has to be able to equip it and bring it into service in order for them to fund the project. Sure.
Our biggest concern is the saltwater intrusion, I think. And do these wells have more benefit to the saltwater intrusion problem than does the replacing of the water lines around town?
Replacing the water services? The water mains.
What you're hearing up here, why we're going back and forth and why the public is upset is we haven't had any chance to weigh in on the prioritization of these projects. And that's why you're getting these disturbed questions, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And that's what I'm asking, that's what I'm trying to get at right now. Which gives us the most bang for our buck for the problems that we see as most important? And to me, the most important problem is saltwater intrusion and groundwater management, conservation. That's what everyone's been trying to say, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, and again, the saltwater intrusion, it's occurring. We are not in that part of the basin. We have nothing to do with that. It is our hope with the ISJ and sitting down cooperatively with Golden State and S&T to negotiate to see how we're going to operate this basin. But essentially, you have a well being operated by a different purveyor that is out closest to the sand spit, I'll put it that way, which is the Pecho well. We have no, we can't do anything about that right now. And who knows what we can do in the future. But, part of the wastewater project's looking at how we might be able to, put the effluent, the treated effluent, recharging and how that's all going to work. So, I'm not quite sure what you're asking with respect to impacting saltwater intrusion.
Come on. I'm asking you, in your professional opinion, what is the best way to prioritize those two projects?
Well, so the probably the bigger bang for the buck in terms of it's not even going to matter. Tightening up water is a good thing because we don't want to waste water no matter where we're taking it from. But putting the Farrell well in and using it now is not going to offset any draw from D or E right now for us.
Okay. No.
That's all.
President Cecenia.
I'm Director Tacker.
I think this goes back to the priority discussion and had we all had this some time ago, in that if the Pecho well is the problem for the basin and our systems were intertied, we could help our neighbors and we actually could sell them water, which helps us as a revenue stream. And so we're looking at the really big picture and, interties are integral to a basin management. And yes, they may come out of the ISJ, but that's another funding mechanism. It's not necessarily IBANC. So that, I think, is what is at issue here, is that we have not had the prioritization discussion. And yes, the lower aquifer is our highest priority, and our way to fix it is tapping the upper aquifer and sharing that water throughout the basin. I think that's where we're at. I don't raise your hand if you think I'm on the right track here, because, okay, I am. You know, the service lines are important to our system, but we are talking about a basin that has multiple systems, and yes, we can do what we can for our system, but when we tie together, we can really work miracles on our basin. And this is a lot of money that's available to us to have priorities. And Carrie, when you guys, I don't know who, went to IBANC and pulled out the second well or the third well from the three-well package that we asked for originally, that didn't get flown by us. And I don't know that this board would have suggested that. The Farrell upper aquifer and the Farrell lower aquifer obviously need to work together so that there is a blending station, and they should have been developed together. What George just stood at the podium and recommended was that we, Mr. Hensley, will be watching. The snail will not go away. So whether that letter expires and this loan expires, to go back at a future date, we will be accruing expense with surveys and snails. So I guess I don't have a recommendation right now. I'm frustrated because I believe this has been taken out of order completely.
Director Sennett.
It seems like we're headed toward a cooperative effort with Golden State to install the inner ties. And it seems like an additional well may be needed to accomplish this, because after all, we're in level severity 3, we have seawater intrusion, and that's what we're trying to abate. If we were looking at our own water our own water business here, sure, we don't need it. But we are looking to offset the draw from the western compartment. And I was wondering, George, is there any way to engage Golden State in this enterprise to develop this well so that we don't have to draw from our reserves?
Well, again, the county has just adopted the ISGA. They have signed on. At this point, I don't know when our first meeting as a TAC for the groundwater basin is going to occur. I assume it's going to happen in the next month, or 4 to 6 weeks, certainly. So when we meet, that's, you know, these are the topics that we want to get out there on the table and start kicking them around. So I can't, I don't have a crystal ball, but the bottom line is the county has signed on to the ISJ. We've certainly were the first to sign. State has signed, and then S&T. So there's already a spirit of cooperation there. We just have to sit around the table and really, you know, throw out some ideas, do some brainstorming, see where we go from here.
Thank you. Did we exhaust public comment here? I'm not sure we ever brought it back to the board.
Our project, as I mentioned, that project was originally only budgeted, the seismic palisade upgrade project, for $15,000. We essentially had a $230,000 project that we had to fund, or else that project was going to ultimately cost the district a substantial more amount of money if we were to wait until after the county came in and did their project, because they were going to put requirements on the district to overlay half that street if you were to come back in within 5 years of that overlay. And so we felt that that was a serious enough of an impact to your financial status to upgrade that main now and use the funds that you have available at this point. But unfortunately, that means sacrificing on another means, and that was the wells, because we also do feel that contracts 1, 2, and 3 have the highest priority of all the contracts. And so that ultimately, that is where we have prioritized the contracts. And I just wanted to make sure that you were aware and you understood where that money was coming from. The budget for contract 6, the service line replacements, that 56, the total amount of budget, that has not changed from day one. That contract is actually the only contract on the construction side that has not changed since the inception of this project. So it is just exhausting the existing budget of that project, would be the $56,000. And as George mentioned, drilling, his request to drill the Farrell well at this point, it is ultimately saving the district at this time money, and it's going to be used for emergency purposes. And the reason is because we have a current fee under with Filippone and Thompson. We've already bid the project. We have a single mobilization fee, and they're willing to work with us on getting that those wells drilled. So at that point, if we were not to use them for the drilling of this well at this time, in the future, if we were to find out that, yes, we do have the money in the spring, once we've come back with all the bids, we would want to go back out to bid for that project, which there's expense in that. We don't know what we can't predict what the fees would be when they come back. Chances are they're going to be higher in time, but you never know with the market. That's just an unpredictable element. However, at this time, we do. And then also, the other concern that the problem that we run into is if the winter starts again in mid-October. So there's timing that's being involved in that, and that's the reason why we're requesting that at this time, to drill the well now and have that potential that maybe in the spring we could equip it if the prices do come in I-Bank, we could put this back into the I-Bank's scope of work. So I don't know if that clarifies things a little bit.
Yes.
This is a question for Anna Jane. Ms. Yu, do we have to use reserves or can we use operating? It's $65,000.
Right now, the water revenue for this year, which we only have a couple months, but it's 40% ahead of budget. And that's because, we've had a dry summer and we're seeing those rates as well as the rate increases. And so, but there's always a lot of ifs, will that continue on? But, right now we're like $160,000 ahead of budget on water revenues. And so it would seem that we could cover that with current operating revenues. And of course we do have, I believe it's a $30,000 contingency line item. And but these are all best case scenario, if something else happens, we get another sinkhole or a pump goes out or something, that's what those contingency line items are for in your current operating budget.
Here's my reasoning on maybe just using operating. It's not making any interest, and our reserves are. So I'd like to make a motion that we use $65,000 of operational water and the money in the water fund to fund the drilling of the upper Farrell well. That's my motion. Staff recommendation, but use a different fund. Use the non-interest accruing fund.
I have an additional question. The window for the Fish and Wildlife Service clearance, is there a window there? Do we have to act on the project by a certain time? And I know that we can't just cover the site with base or something. I mean, the reason you went to Fish and Wildlife was to drill a well. If you do not do the project, you don't get to impact the habitat without doing your project. So we do have to drill a well if we do anything there that would ease that burden and make sure we don't have to go back for another Fish and Wildlife clearance. But is there a window on that clearance?
There are mitigation measures any time of the year that we construct. If at this time we have already had biological assessments that have rainy season, we do not have to do additional biological assessments, nor do we have to take any other mitigation measures beyond we do have to put up protective fencing in the areas where we know the snail is located. Now, the caveat to that is if we get into the rainy season, if we get a major rain event, at that time, then we will then now have to proceed into having biological assessments daily prior to construction and during throughout the entire duration of construction, which increases our cost of the project significantly. I can't give you a cost estimate on that at this point. As well as if any snails venture into our construction area, of which we cannot prohibit them from doing, then that eliminates us from using that construction area. So if they crawl onto a piece of equipment, if they get into our wellhead, any location, we then have to stop construction and we no longer can use that area. So it could have profound impacts on us during construction. That is the reason why we want to do drilling now. Then at that point, we would go into design and we would wait to do the ultimate equipping of the well following the rainy season so we can stay out of that additional biological assessment.
Last question. Can you get the well drilled by this weekend? Because isn't it supposed to rain?
I don't believe that's possible.
Okay, okay. Thank you. At this point, I'm ready to second Director Schicker's motion. I think that's a pretty good way to deal with this. We have the money, it seems, right now, and we can shift if we have to, yeah. And why take it from an interest-bearing account with the concern about our reserves? So I'll make that second. And do we need a roll call vote on this, or I would guess just...
Can we have discussion?
Yeah, further discussion.
Yeah. Ms. Hugh, in terms of the taking from the operating, you're saying the cash flows are going ahead, and so the question is, are $65,000 in operating funds available?
That is absolutely available right now. This is the height of our revenue availability in the water fund is right now. Yeah. So we actually have not only the $300,000, I don't know if you saw the current balances, but the balance in the water fund is actually over $300,000 right now just in their checking account, which I think they owe general for.
From the operating account without seeing that.
You know, wrong direction. In order to do this, staff would actually bring a recommendation. Right now, though, I know that, George, does $30,000, isn't that right what we have in the contingency line item for the water fund? I'm pretty sure it's $30,000. Is that 20 maybe? It could be 20. And then we have another capital outlay project for the percolation pond, right, that George is doing in-house and is expecting to come in under budget. So I think that what we would do in the short term is that we would use those two line items to fund the drilling of the well. And then, as we get to the mid-year budget adjustment, we would look at what else has happened operationally, where we're at, where the percolation pond project came in, whether any other contingencies had arisen, and we would come back, and we'll know better where our revenues stand by that time. And so we would either say we were able to completely work in the $65,000 into operations, or we would make a recommendation at that point of how much you're going to have to draw down reserves in order to cover that.
The recommendation here on the motion is to simply take it from the water operations account and make the budget adjustment in the water operations as opposed to a reserve.
Any further board discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let's take a quick break, maybe 10 minutes.